This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap, looks, fires, end zone. Yeah! Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again. Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots take on rookie sensation Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Adam, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
The Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. You hear him right there. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. If you hear any weird noises, it's probably Andy Hart's stomach rumbling over there because what? You didn't get your donut today?
This is the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social without, you know, Dunkin' Donuts. I'm starving. I count on that food.
You gonna make it, Paul?
I'm questionable.
You might be flying solo in an hour, hour and a half.
We'll see how that goes. Inactives come out. We'll see if Andy and Paul are on that list.
I certainly don't have enough energy to plow through that Eric Scalavino interview late in the show.
Coming up here in about an hour.
I never do, even when I have three donuts in me.
As the Patriots take on the Colts here in Foxborough. A couple of 6-3 teams, 4:25 Eastern kickoff time here at Gillette Stadium. And obviously the storyline all week has been no more Peyton Manning for the Colts. They've turned things over to Andrew Luck. And they haven't skipped a beat.
And as luck would have it, they're a pretty good football team. Mm-hmm. No, they're not really, actually.
It's a mirage. Well, with an accent on luck.
They're a mirage. He's a mirage. The hype is beyond the reality right now for both he and the team. You know, it's a nice story. And, you know, I don't want to rip it too bad because the Chuck Strong and Chuck Pagano story is phenomenal. I think my wife's calling again. Anyone who watched that post game speech, I don't know how you could not be rooting for the Colts, but you know, the issue is they have to come into Foxborough. They've scored 30 points once all year. You know, their defense is down two cornerbacks. You know, Darius Butler, the reigning defensive player of the week in the AFC, is not only a Patriots cast off, but a Panthers cast off and a Colts cast off until they brought him back. So,
yeah.
You know, to me, this is a game where if you're the Patriots, you're licking your chops. You know, you kind of were a little embarrassed or unhappy about how things unfolded last week. I think this is one where you could see them sort of take it out on a lucky football team.
Yeah, I share Andy's sentiments with the Colts in general overall. I think I feel a little bit more strongly about Andrew Luck than he does. But
no, I think Luck's going to be phenomenal in 3 years.
Yeah,
he's just not phenomenal right now.
Yeah, no, I know. I wasn't necessarily looking. We have
well,
an
everybody
hour,
tries
we have
to
an
say
hour
because I don't think he's
to
a top six
this.
Quarterback right now. That I don't think he's going to
be
good.
Oh, I don't think he's a
those
top,
two things are very separate.
Yeah, I don't think he's a top
and the hype
six
of Andrew Luck
right
is
now.
Far beyond the production and the performance right now. That's the only problem I have.
Yeah.
Guys like Adam Jones, who you know, I don't know whether it's puffed or stuffed.
Why are you laughing at that?
Familiar,
he's making
familiar
fun
with that
of you.
Terminology. That's funny. It made me laugh. What
okay,
be edgy with no food.
And he's not. This is not going to be a good
show.
So
you're more bullish on Luck. How do you feel about the team?
The team, well, defensively especially, they have two players that I would even. I mean, the Patriots' defense, I would say, is obviously not real good. I think the Colts have two players that I would entertain the idea of adding. Maybe three. Antoine Bethea. You know, obviously talking about the two edge guys with Mathis and Freeney. They can't stop the run. They have a hard time stopping the pass. That adds up to a lot of points to me when you play against a team with an offense like New England's. I don't think, much like Andy explained, I don't think the Colts can keep up. So offensively, they've been okay. But they haven't been dynamic, not like the Patriots have. And that includes Andrew Luck. I think what some of the plays that you've seen him make under the duress that he's been is what has been impressive to me. I wouldn't put him, I share Andy's sentiments, I wouldn't put him as a top you know, top six quarterback or anything like that right now. But I do think he's played far better than his numbers would indicate. I mean, he's got like an even touchdown interception ratio, very similar. I think watching him a little bit in highlights and watching the one full game on that Thursday night, I mean, he's under pressure on almost every throw, and he makes some bad decisions like all rookie quarterbacks do. So you can't just say this is a great football team, and even though they're 6-3, you know, not all 6-3s are created equal, and I don't think the Colts have been anywhere near as good as a 6-3 record would indicate overall.
When you look at this rivalry, and obviously it's different, no Peyton Manning on the other side, does it still have legs? Do you still view it? Not the same, but do you still view it as a rivalry?
No. Everything's gone. Polian's gone. Manning's gone. I mean, the schemes are very different for them. You know, the things that are left over are Mathis, Freeney, Wayne, and those aren't really the kind of, you know, they weren't the focal point of the rivalry when it was at its best. It was about, you know, part of it was Polian and Belichick. Part of it even was Dungy and Belichick, sort of the nice guy, religious coach, smile guy in Dungy.
Yeah.
And then Belichick, who was sort of the devil, the bad guy coach. And Brady and me, to me, it's just, it's gone. It's totally, now maybe they could establish, you know, could start today. And if Brady plays as long as he wants to, maybe you're starting a second window of that. But the original rivalry to me is dead.
Yeah, I share that. It's, to me, it was all Manning Brady, you know, and off field, like, Andy, you know, Bill Polian, you know, he was a hateable guy. He's gone. Manning's gone. It starts over. But I'll tell you what. I think it has the makings of being something if the Colts can improve quickly enough to get on par with what the Patriots are doing with Brady. Because what better way to sort of turn the page to chapter two of a rivalry than you go from a great quarterback in Peyton Manning? If Andrew Luck is legitimate, that's the perfect way to sort of write the next chapter, is Brady Luck. As Brady heads off into retirement over the next, you know, handful of seasons.
So Dunkin' Donuts 10. Patriots pregame social.
Well, yeah, as he says, you know, he's going to be 78 and say, I got 10 more good years left in me.
He's going to last longer than Bryn Whedon is with the Browns.
We're here on Patriots.com. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey, cheddar, bacon, and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. No, today you'd settle for much less than a sandwich.
Yes, a frickin' munchkin. A donut hole. Anything.
We'll get into your phone calls, 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll take your thoughts on the rivalry. We'll take your thoughts on what you've seen out of this Colts team. And also, the Patriots now through 9 weeks. Obviously, last week, a scare against the Buffalo Bills. Your feeling on the standing of this team. Also want to get into the roster transactions this week. I think we all expected Aqib Talib to be active at some point. We'll get to the trickle-down effect of Branch's release, et cetera, in a moment. But Talib, how much do we expect to see him today?
I think you're going to see an awful lot of him. Andy and I have been talking about this all week. You know, provided that he is physically ready. Now, he's had like 5 weeks off. He was suspended for 4 weeks. Then they had the bye in there. So maybe physically, you know, his cardio or whatever isn't quite up to par. He says it is, you know, and talking to him on Thursday, he said he's, you know, he's healthy, he feels good, and blah 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 blah. So as long as he's ready to go at close to 100%, I think you got to let him go. I think if it takes 70-80 snaps today, I think you got to get him out there. I think you got to find out what you have in him, and that's a process that will take a couple of weeks, but it starts today. It doesn't make any sense to me, you know, to give him some spot duty. I think you went out and you made a big-time acquisition. I think you trade him. You have to play for him big-time minutes, you know, as a result.
Yeah, I agree. I think the only question is with him is how's he used. Are they going to allow him to man up, match up with Avery or Wayne or however they do that? Or are they going to play defense? Are they going to be on one side like they are wont to do? You know, the McCourty, where does he end up? That is the only question to me. Yeah, if he pulls a hamstring, okay, he's going to come out of the game. Or if he's sucking wind and can't keep up, he'll come out of the game. But to me, it's such a short window here to get him acclimated, to get him game reps. And, you know, you don't want to look past the Colts, but, you know, you're prepping for games against the Niners and the Texans, games that are huge for you. I think the Colts is a good game to try to get him reps.
And the reason, you know, when Andy says you got to find out, you know, the question is how you're going to use him. That's why I think you need to use him so much today. I think Bill Belichick needs to answer, you know what? I don't really believe in matching up just one guy, but this guy, that's the best way to use him. And the only way you can find that out is by putting him in your system and have him cover with the rest of your guys and do it.
And it might be the perfect day to do it with Reggie Wayne in motion all the time in the various ways they use him in that Hines Ward role, Bill called it.
Right.
You know, this might be a good game to allow, you know, run all over the field with him. So let's see what you got. You want to do it? Prove to me you can do it against Reggie Wayne, the NFL leader in receptions.
That sidebar issue that you brought up, McCourty, where do you line him up if you're the Patriots?
I would put him at corner. I would have those two as my corners. I would have Tlaib and McCourty as my corners. You know, the Patrick Chung health issue is still sort of a part of this. I would prefer to have Chung and Gregory as my safeties and then go from there. But, you know, the Greg Bedard continues to beat the drum that they've wanted McCourty at safety all the time. And, you know, this is going to allow them to do that. And you'll see Arrington and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, maybe that's so. You know, I still don't really buy it because I would have thought I would have seen McCourty take even a single rep at safety in the summer, and I never saw that. And, you know, his whole thing was they were hoping that Dowling was going to, you know, be a certain type of corner that you could man up, and that Tlaib now fills that role, so now they can do them. You know, we'll see. Maybe that's the case. I wouldn't do it, but, you know, I don't make $7.5 to $10 million a year to make those decisions.
Yeah, I think the big thing that Andy hits on there is Patrick Chung's health. You know, Gregory was able to get back last week. If you have Chung back available to go, then that allows you to, you know, truly play McCourty where you want to. Right now, he kind of has to play safety. Until you get those two guys back on the field, back in the lineup, and at, you know, close to full strength, I think you have to play McCourty at safety. I agree with Andy. If I had my choice, McCourty would be at corner opposite Tlaib.
Quick side note for all those that want to replace Wes Welker with Danny Amendola, he's hurt again.
Did he go
he
out
just
of
limped off with a right heel, foot, ankle, Achilles knee.
On the Twitter, Pat Chung will not play according to Mike Giardi.
Okay.
There you go. No Pat Chung. We're not expecting.
So we're still never going to get a damn answer necessarily.
With the secondary.
Because until Chung is back, you can't definitively say, okay, they chose to keep McCourty at safety.
Correct.
Because we've seen that we don't necessarily want Wilson on the field in an extended role because he struggled in that. So you don't get the answer until you're at full health.
No, and it's a fair point. I guess, and maybe I did a poor job asking it.
Probably.
In an optimum situation.
You're probably hungry too. I'm not blaming you. Your blood sugar might be low.
When you have everyone out there, how would you want to line up if you're the Patriots? You're right, though. We're probably not going to get that answer for a few weeks. One other bit of news from that transaction. Why the Deion Branch release? Why that part of it?
My guess is because he's hurt. And, you know, with Welker already banged up, you're already without Hernandez. You know, you're down some bodies there, especially in that kind of slot receiver role. You know, Edelman, I guess, has worked back to full health, but, you know, you were limited there, and if you weren't comfortable with, you know, two of your veteran receivers being potentially out of the lineup two plays into the game, like could be a possibility with Welker and Branch, you brought up Salas. That's the only thing I wanted to. I heard people on Real Radio saying, you know, to make room for Tlaib on the roster, they released Deion Branch. No,
they
released Malcolm Williams.
Right.
They made a move with Salas up from the practice squad, clearly at receiver. You know, they swapped receivers, and Deion Branch had a hamstring injury, and they probably felt they couldn't count on him. I wouldn't say you've seen the end of Deion Branch in New England.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance that you see him back at some point. One of the things that is interesting to me with Deion Branch, there's some guys that, you know, they're always on the injury report, but they always play. Deion Branch, when you see hamstring next to him, he either isn't able to play or he is clearly compromised. There's games, you know, you look back last year, there's like two-week stretches where he didn't make a catch. And you look at the injury report. He's on the injury report those weeks with a hamstring problem. He's not the same guy. He's not a speedster. You know, he doesn't have great speed. So I think when you have a hamstring problem, sometimes that affects certain guys differently than others. And I think he's one of those guys that when he has hamstring issues, they affect him. When I saw that he popped up, I think it was on Thursday, he had a hamstring problem. I said, you know, Andy and I talked about it on the roster report on Patriots.com on Friday. Keep an eye on that one because generally when he has a hamstring problem, it's significant. And I think when you had Welker's issues, a lot of people didn't think Welker was going to play all week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now later in the week, he was able to get out there on Friday and people sort of think that he's going to play. I think that the way Andy said it, if Welker's out there and you say, okay, he's going to play, and then he's out there for the first, you know, the first play, and all of a sudden, you know, turns that ankle and you call on Branch to sort of step in and then he's not ready. Now you just have Edelman, you know, and I don't think that's the optimum situation. So they'll have Edelman, I think, to be waiting in the wings today, and they'll have Greg Salas, who has been here all year. So, you know, mentally at least, he should be up to speed We'll see if he can add anything physically.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. He's Paul Perillo alongside Andy Hart, myself, Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We're taking you up to Patriots and Colts, battle of a couple of 6-3 teams. Kickoff at 4:25 Eastern. We'll get into your feedback, 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll get to all of that after we head over to the Poll Center and Matt LePan. What's going on, Matt?
How are we doing today, Adam?
Doing excellent.
All right, we're going to start off today. You know, the Aqib Talib thing is pretty big, so which cornerback combination should get a majority of the snaps today? Talib and Dennard, Talib and Arrington, Dennard and Arrington, or other? And right now, it's a landslide. It's Talib and Dennard at 90% right now.
Yeah, I think if Chung can't play, if that Comcast Sportsnet report is accurate and Chung doesn't go, I think you're going to see Talib and Dennard as your combination with Arrington as the third guy. I would consider all three of those guys starters, but I think Arrington comes in and plays the slot with Talib and Dennard because I think McCourty would have to stay at safety.
And that's what I was just going to say. It has as much to do with safety. I think for today, that's what most people are going to say.
Right.
I wouldn't mind seeing that long term. And I guess, you know, Gregory, neither he or Chung have played great this season. They've both been exposed. We talked about Tavon Wilson earlier. So really, whoever's been back there at safety has had their issues. I don't know. I feel like, and maybe it's just because of the turnovers last week, it seems like McCourty stabilizes it a little bit. But I don't know if that's what the Patriots want to do. We keep talking about the Boston Globe beating the drum that, yeah, you want to see, or they want McCourty back there. But when everybody's been healthy, he's been at corner.
Right. And so, even dating back, I mean, going back to the spring when they decided how they were going to construct their roster, they used a second-round pick on Tavon Wilson.
Yep.
You know, they go out, and maybe their first free agent move, or certainly one of their biggest, was to sign Steve Gregory as a starting-caliber safety, starting-caliber money. I agree, none of them have played well. I don't even really think McCourty has done much personally. I've yet to see him do much back there. I thought he missed as many tackles as anybody last week.
I thought
in
he
that
struggled
safety role.
I mean, I know everybody pointed to the two turnovers, but I'm with Andy 1,000%.
So, but here's the other side of it too. Dennard, arguably the last 2 weeks, has had his
last
two
week
worst
was
games.
By far, I thought, his worst game.
So, you know, it's
they all suck. What do you want me to tell you?
where he started and looked competitive, and I think no matter, same thing with the safeties, with the corners, you know, they've thrown on all these guys. It seemed like Dennard, those first two, three games, whatever it was, he was competitive. He was in there making plays, and it seems like he's sort of gone the way of McCourty and Arrington and everyone
right.
else they've tried
I'd
out
still like to see Gregory,
position.
Though. I know a lot of people are down on him, and you know, I think Greg Bedard in his whole kind of breakdown wrote that, you know, he shouldn't play or whatever, but I don't think he's played that much, and you haven't had any consistency. You know, I'd like to see the secondary that they theoretically constructed with Chung and Gregory as your safeties and Wilson as your rotational guy, whatever. I'd like to see that get more reps and see if it can work. It gives you a free. It gives you a strong. You know, that's another issue. I mean, if you go McCourty and Gregory, and Bedard brought this up, you kind of got two free safeties on the field. You don't really have a strong guy.
A sure so, tackler or a guy
well,
who can
theoretically,
cover tight ends
McCourty. You know, I used to refer to him as our
run-stuffing corner.
But, yeah, he struggled. You know, I thought everybody struggled with their tackling last week across the board, and part of that was just C.J. Spiller made them struggle with their tackling. You know, I still want to see, you know, I give Bill Belichick credit. He, in my opinion, he formulated a team a certain way. Okay, let's see that play out. We haven't gotten to see that play out with veteran solid safety play together and your corners working together. I mean, it's all kind of been jumbled at various points all year.
Yeah, I'm totally on board. I hate when Andy and I agree so vehemently on a topic that is relevant. You know, we're in the minority. A lot of people want to see McCourty stay at safety. They've seen stuff that Andy and I haven't seen. Last week there were two big turnovers in the game that he was involved in: the fumble on the goal line, and then the interception. Obviously, that sealed the game.
One was a hustle play, and one was a bad throw.
Well, one was just a bad play all around. He was. The receiver was supposed to cut in front of McCourty, and he ran the wrong route, and, you know, disaster ensues. That's what happens when you play bad teams. That doesn't happen when you play good teams, generally. But more important to me was the play throughout the game. For some reason, when the cornerbacks were playing, it was all about, you know, the middle of the field was open. They couldn't do anything in the middle of the, you know, they couldn't do anything to take away the middle of the field, but the cornerbacks weren't at fault. Because it was on the outside. Remember, you know, early in the season, the outside, not a lot of outs were being completed, but it was in the middle of the field. So the safeties were struggling. Well, last week, the middle of the field was wide open all game, but suddenly McCourty has solidified everything by playing safety. Why is, you know, as Andy pointed out, he missed as many tackles as anybody. Why suddenly is the safety play absolved from all of these middle of the field situations? Now, I think, as Andy said, the secondary, you could put a different combination.
Yeah.
You could put lipstick on this guy and perfume on that one. They haven't played well.
Wow. Paul thinks they're all pigs.
They have not played well.
That'd be a little awkward, putting lipstick on them.
You know,
it would distract opposing receivers.
You smell nice. You can dress it up any way you want. The pass rush has been inconsistent, and the coverage has been lacking all year. The only thing that's been good on defense has been the run defense.
Except for last week.
All right, let's get to some thoughts on this game, some of your feedback. 508-298-0398, that's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll take your thoughts on the Patriots going against Andrew Luck, the Patriots through nine games, and the addition of Aqib Talib is what we've been hitting on here early on in the program. We'll kick things off with our buddy Jeff in Vegas. What's going on, Jeff?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Oh, it's a loud one there today, eh?
Yeah, the Jets just got a miracle holding call that called back a kickoff return for the Rams. Anyway, first things first, any Jenny Downs sightings in the press box today?
Not yet. We're not up in the press box, but I'm hoping that, it'll be an exciting box, if you know what I'm saying.
I mean,
everybody always knows what you're saying.
I mean, that's the kind of analysis that Eric Scalvino should be providing. By the way, I think he, blocked me on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
So,
I do believe it. That's the kind of pompous ass he is.
So rude.
Yeah, maybe I hit a nerve there.
Why, what'd you do? Did you talk about his love life or something?
I think I made some sort of sarcastic wisecrack like a month ago or something like that. Mm. I didn't know it hit so close to home.
No loss on your part.
Agreed. Lots of early games, 8-1, so it looks like the New England will have the entire country is going to be watching this matchup.
Yes, because they want to see Andrew Luck, the rising star, the myth.
The myth. There he goes, the myth.
The legend.
Part Montana, part Brady, part Elway.
Whoa, and don't forget that he's the fastest guy they faced all year, according to Belichick.
But as Paul and I keep emphasizing, Andy, he has made some big-time plays running for his life and putting the ball in a window.
I have seen it.
Numbers, it's New England has started -9. Now they're up to -10. So New England getting some respect at home, total 54.
So what do you got?
And that might just bring us to the Jeff and Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
Sponsored by the Eye Candy Dancers.
Nice. Is it still chilly out there?
No, warm.
It's a little chilly in here.
About 72, and sparkling sunshine in Vegas. A little bit of a breeze.
I like those Eye Candy Dancers better when they're a little chilly, if you know what I'm saying.
Everybody always knows what you're saying.
It's like the ice cubes from, what was that movie that bombed with the Saved by the Bell girl?
Yes, Girls, Showgirls.
Striptease, no, Showgirls.
Showgirls.
And that was the other one with nipples.
Oh, yeah, Showgirl. Actually, have like the AC blasting. The AC on that stage is really blasting, so they actually get condensation. It's not sweat. They condensate on stage.
Condensate.
Let's go back to, as you guys
Is that
know,
what they're calling it nowadays?
I like moist women.
Jesus.
back to Friday's PFW, I think Andy was talking about moist. I think those cookies, moist cookies.
Yes.
Is moist.
Cookies and women are better moist.
Yeah, okay, move forward to the actual pick. You guys know I love the Colts. Take the points on the Colts' money line, though. There's no value. It's only +360. It should be like +550. No value there. The total, I just don't learn. I'm a fool. I'm insane. I don't learn from my mistakes. I keep repeating. I'm going to go under the 54. Lock it in. Colts
54.
And the under.
Colts and the under? I don't care
Lock
for either.
It in.
I don't care for either.
Jeff,
Boo.
I got to tell you, I like the over again. I'm sorry, bud.
You're going to kill us because it's another week without lunch from you. Damn it.
Talk to you later.
See ya.
I see the Patriots near 40. I see the Colts at least in the 20s.
So I guess I like the over as well. I think plenty of points will be scored in the game. I like the Colts to cover. I feel like every time.
Oh, you're an idiot.
The Jets have covered.
I know. I'm just doing
the
what
The Bills
I
have covered.
Yeah.
I mean,
Andy and I have made every pick over, say, the last month by saying the same thing. This will be a blowout.
Right.
Of course, I said that last week and the week before. But this one really going to be a blowout. Yeah, I mean, so I can't argue with you for taking the Colts.
I feel like the over has been pretty consistent. It's been the Patriots covering. I feel like every week I come in and I say Patriots in the over.
But Andy and I do appreciate you giving us another win in the six-pack that we'll get to later in the show.
Yeah, it's only going to be a five-pack again. These 4 o'clock games are tough. There's not you reach into that pack and pull one out, and maybe we get started on the weekend.
We can't take Jacksonville on the points.
No, you can't get too close. This is creative on my part. I'm not going to let you guys get too close, or Andy too close. I'm falling further and further behind Paul.
I do. Don't worry about it. I do have a couple interesting notes off of Twitter.
It's Jones Stradamus.
Off of Twitter from former Patriots that are chiming in on this game today. One was from our friends across the pond. Apparently Troy Brown appeared on Sky TV over there and picked the Colts to win this game outright, which is interesting, I think.
It's poppycock.
And I don't think we can say that word.
Rubbish.
You definitely couldn't say that
bingo,
word. The
bingo!
Bingo!
I got bingo!
Disney show.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, yeah.
You could say the word cock in it.
But you could say poppycock.
The cocktail gobbler.
I don't even know what poppycock is.
I mean, can you not say cocktail?
It's rubbish. Is what it is.
I like to say cocktail. She's got a tail and I got a... We'll move on now. A vagina? The other one was Roosevelt Colvin, who I went back and forth with a little on Twitter today, and he, who lives obviously in Indianapolis, where he has a pie shop and a UPS store and all his various gigs, also does a little TV work on a Colts pregame show, but he has the Patriots by 21 points. He says the Colts really having trouble with their run fits on run defense, and though luck is good, the Patriots have never had a problem with this Steelers offense that they are now running there in Indy, so he's looking for a blowout for the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm not sure I share his opinion trouble that the Patriots have had with the offense.
They certainly had some issue with it last year.
Yeah, I think what the Patriots have never had trouble with Pittsburgh traditionally is the Pittsburgh defense.
Keep in mind, he hasn't played here for quite some time. I don't know how much he was watching when he wasn't here.
But
that's
what I'm thinking back to. Like, I'm
he played
of,
alongside guys McGinnis and Bruschi and Vrabel and
but you know
Law
what? I'm, but I'm
Harrison.
Thinking of 41-27 wins.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the thing that the Patriots never had problems with that everybody else did was Blitzburg.
Right.
You know, Dick LeBeau's blitz zones and all that stuff. I think that they had occasional
trouble. You're on Twitter. Go yell at him.
Well, I don't follow Rosie.
You don't?
No.
I also asked him to send us some cookies and pies.
Some pies?
Shop.
Does he actually have a shop now? Or
Oh, yeah.
I know he had the UPS.
He tweets out photos from the shop and stuff now. Yeah. They're like legit. They're one of those, you know, it's sort of cliche these days, those little like cupcake bakery places. I don't know if Adam Jones is even going to partake in the show the rest of the day.
No.
He's got fantasy numbers that are going amok on the Red Zone channel.
You know, you got Stafford fumbling left and right there in that game. Well, we'll continue.
Let me guess, he's on your team.
He may or may not be. Yeah, we'll continue with the phone calls. 508-298-0398. Melvin's in Tennessee. What do you think about this game today, Mel?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Tremendous. Well. I'd be better if I had food, but I'm trying to, you know, gut through it.
I understand. Well, as far as the game today goes, I guess just like you said, Andy, previously, I want to see how they're going to actually use the lead, because this is the traditional team that I guess that he could serve that type of purpose of taking away Reggie Wayne and then seeing what the defense can do with, you know, everyone else. We should be able to hold that if they choose to use him that way, but, you know, just during the game, it'll be interesting to see if they're going to use him that way. But more concern to me was last week, I just felt like even with Tlaib there or not, just, of course, everybody beat this drum to death. The missed tackles is what just drove me crazy. And one guy is not going to fix 20 missed tackles and 100-plus yards at the catch, so yards at the contact. So if they can just, I guess, and it's going to be that occasional, you know, third down and eight, second down and eight, where Luck is going to tuck it and run it. And ideally, you would think that'd be, that's what you would want them to do, is run towards one of our linebackers. But, you know, I guess now the NFL these days, these missed tackles in poor form, there might be an advantage to them. So I just want to see them clean up the tackling act, and, you know, the run defense and everything else is going to take care of itself if they can clean up that act. But, you know, that's big shoot. I don't know if one guy's really going to change their role.
You know what I think will help the run defense? C.J. Spiller not being on the field.
Yeah.
I don't think their running game is all that good. I mean, I think they got a couple bigger, slower, jaggier guys.
See, not only that, I look at last week's run defense as an aberration. I think that they've been pretty good this year.
They got beat by a better guy.
No, I know that. But as much as I don't give the secondary and pass rush the benefit of the doubt because I've seen it now consistently, I do give the front seven's ability to stop a running game, the benefit of the doubt.
Because we've seen it. And also, you know, Spiller averaged whatever he averaged, 8 or 9 yards a kick, but he's averaging seven.
He averaged right what he had, you know, he was 7-2.
Right on,
he was
right
he
on his
seven,
average.
7-6 so in the game. Whatever.
So it's, he was right on his average.
That's one of the things that I do think got missed. You know, yes, they struggled tackling C.J. Spiller, but so far everyone has.
Right. But it was more than, I mean, Fred Jackson was pretty good between the tackles.
True.
Too.
That one where he's
a pretty good player, too. He's better than the two backs they faced today.
One where he's spinning away from Dante Hightower wasn't exactly a highlight reel for the Patriots.
Now, Greg Bedard tried to spin that off as because Pepper Johnson has apparently been dealing with a quad injury and had, you know, he'll be on a crutches or whatever after quad surgery, that they didn't get the coaching they needed last week, and that led to the missed tackles.
And which is your thoughts on that are?
Paul looks like you.
Nice.
Lord knows there's no other coaches there.
No. And Lord knows they haven't been making tackles for the first 8 weeks, and you suddenly say, well, our coach isn't here. What are we supposed to do this week?
You got
to
feel for Pepper. We're going to miss every tackle as an
Bill came into the meeting and said, we're going to change it up this week. Two-hand touch.
Patriots host the Colts here in Foxborough. 4:25 Eastern kickoff time. We'll take you up to that here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart and Paul Perillo here on Patriots.com. We'll continue with your feedback, your thoughts on this one, and we'll get the view from the other side coming up next here on Patriots.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football.
and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a hot take on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Adam, Paul, and Andy broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart here on Patriots.com. We'll get to your feedback momentarily. Also, want to get the view from Indianapolis. Andy, you said you had an interesting tweet, though, from a member of the Patriots?
I do. Patrick Chung, at Patrick Chung 25. Ah, come on! A little thing scrolled down. I got it for you. At Patrick Chung 25 tweeted out three words. Gotta love business. Now, I don't know what that means, but I think if you were a cynical person or a conspiracy theorist, you could read that as he's not happy being inactive today and that maybe he feels they're trying to keep his numbers playing time production down so they don't have to pay him as much to re-sign him. Just a theory. Just a theory I'm throwing out there.
Paul Perillo
will run with it.
Paul, you want to weigh in quick?
It's a logical theory. I don't know exactly what he meant.
Or maybe he just got screwed on a business deal, too. I mean, he has all those T-shirts and various things he's involved
in. Maybe it's a song lyric. Maybe it has a deep meaning in his
life.
That
could
be,
too.
Could be something like that.
But I'd urge people to send in your ideas of what you think that means, and is it true business-related?
Got a lot of business.
Because we get in trouble with these Twitter things. You know, Brandon Spikes, his location is like hell on earth and all these things we read too much into. I'd be interesting to see if fans are going to read into that or not.
Well, let me ask you this. If you do read into it, does he have a point?
I don't know. Is he healthy?
I don't think he has a point.
Well, what if he's not healthy? I mean, what if he's healthy and they've been just
keeping
him out?
Maybe they're erring on the side of caution today, but the guy's been constantly banged up.
We expected him to come back fast last year, and he didn't. Maybe they kept him out all of last year to keep his numbers down because they thought they were going to re-sign him during the offseason.
Does that make sense to you?
Gotta love business.
That's what I'm asking you. Does that make sense to you?
I don't know the facts.
All right, so we'll take your thoughts on...
I don't know the facts.
We're operating under the whole entire premise of not knowing the facts as you... Very
no, but if he feels they're screwing him this year, do you remember last year when we thought he was going to play for like 5 weeks in a row and he didn't?
Yeah, I do.
Maybe he got screwed then, he feels like.
He may feel like that. I'm asking, do you think that they would do that?
Sure.
So the defense is in shambles. They can't stop anybody, and they're going to keep a perfectly healthy starter out.
Against the Colts?
So they can not have to pay him 3 years.
We've already ripped the Colts enough.
We'll take your thoughts
doesn't
on Pat
Chung's
tweet.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Gotta love business. He tweets out. You can weigh in, 508-298-0398. Send your emails to webradio@patriots.com, as we like to do during each and every Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We don't just get the view from New England. We also get the view from the other side.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
And to do that, we welcome in Philip Wilson of the Indianapolis Star here to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. And Philip, we've been talking an awful lot about this Indianapolis Colts team. They check in at 6-3. How would you describe this team? Is better or worse than that record?
No, it's probably overachieved to be 6-3 a little bit, but I don't want to discredit the guys. I mean, they've beaten some teams they probably should have beaten, and maybe one they shouldn't have, Green Bay. So we give them props for that, and everybody knows the story about Chuck Pagano and how that's brought this team together. So I can't discredit them. I mean, they've reached the win total I predicted for them for the season as of today. So I got to keep my mouth shut when it comes to, you know, underestimating these guys because I've already done it enough.
So, Philip, looking at the numbers, they're a team that's given up more points than they've scored. They're minus near the bottom of the league in turnover ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the strengths. Give us the reason why. And maybe it's just Andrew Luck. I don't know. But give us the reasons why they're a 6-win football team right now.
That's the first place you start. With your quarterback, you guys know better than anybody, when you have a quarterback in this league, you have a chance, and you have a chance against anybody, and nobody's admired Tom Brady more than I have over the years. Andrew Luck's been probably better than people thought he'd be. We thought he'd be pretty good. Some numbers are probably down, or at least not as high as they will be eventually when he learns more. But the poise, the ability to take a hit and complete a throw anyway, those things have been much better than you'd expect for a rookie because he's been under a lot of pressure. Now, that said, Reggie Wayne's had a great year, and Reggie's been his go-to guy. And some people tried to suggest that the Dan Orlovsky, Kerry Collins, Curtis Painter experiment of 2011 suggested that Reggie Wayne had lost a step. Well, we know now that he hasn't lost a step. He's still very capable. So you have to give him a lot of credit. And then you you probably point to just the team buttoning down and battening down the hatches in the fourth quarter of games and winning some close games. They even won an overtime against Tennessee when maybe they could have lost it or should have lost it, and showing some heart under pressure. Miami game was a field goal game, pulling out some close ones. So there's something to be said for continuity. You wouldn't look at some of these parts and say they're stellar. You'd say they probably are in the market for some upgrades at the end of the year. But the sum of the parts has gotten it done against some teams that aren't the best of teams in the league most of the time, but a win's a win.
Defensively, I wanted to talk about some of those, the comment you just made about the sum of the parts. It doesn't look like there's a lot there statistically, certainly, but yet they found a way, as you said, to stay in the games and make them fourth quarter games. How have they done that?
Yeah, you know, I wish I was with you guys today at Gillette. As you people probably know, I'm home. Budget cuts didn't bring me to the game, and I loved going to Gillette. But I can tell you, this defense, the colleagues and I, when we talk, the numbers don't add up in a lot of respects. I mean, we thought forever they weren't going to get our takeaway. They were stuck on three takeaways forever, like four or five games in a row without a takeaway. They're starting a secondary or cornerback roster today that consists of Darius Butler, a guy you guys know, who didn't wash out there, Cassius Vaughn, Josh Gordy, and for crying out loud, they've taken Ted Williams, or I guess he's Teddy Williams, out of the deep freeze cryostasis, and they've activated him off the practice squad on Friday to make him active for this game.
He's a heady player.
Yeah, and I didn't even put it together. Somebody had to tweet me and say, oh, let's hope he can hit, you know, and I hope I'm late to the party on the joke, you know, but so how do they do that? Well, you play a system, a 3-4 scheme that you try and get pressure on the quarterback. The pass rush has been spotty because Dwight Freeney's played on one ankle a good part of the year. Robert Mathis had knee and back issues, but Mathis, when he's played, has gotten six sacks. They blitz a little bit, and so they get a little pressure that way. They just kind of hang around. It's the best way. It's not sexy, but you guys can relate to that. Your defense hangs in and hangs in and hangs in and maybe makes a play and gets it done when it needs to. And that's that's probably the best way to say it. I mean, the one guy you could single out as having an eyebrow-raising kind of year because nobody knew who he was is Jarrell Freeman, a Canadian Football League all-star inside linebacker who, you know, like so many guys in Canada, just wanted a shot. And on the first play of preseason, Pat Anger, our 2011 leading tackler, breaks his foot. And Freeman steps in and starts, and he's leading tackler in almost every game, leading tackler for the season, 73 stops. He's been solid in the middle of the defense, a guy that nobody on this side of the border knew the hell he was before the season started.
Having said all that, obviously they haven't faced an offense or very few offenses with the type of weapons the Patriots bring to the table. Do you think they have the ability, the scheme, the pressure to slow this offense down enough to give Luck a chance?
Well, I know I'm supposed to be behind enemy lines here. I love that intro. I'm supposed to probably give the contrary viewpoint and say, yeah, these guys can do it. They can take the Patriots down and get your listeners all fired up. But I learned a long time ago when picking games each week for my blog that I pick the way I think the game's going to go. And I don't do it to make players happy, even if they want to needle me. I don't do it so fans can, you know, oh, you're wrong. I do it because that's what I think is going to happen. I picked the Patriots to win this game because, frankly, they have not faced an offense this prolific. I mean, you could say Aaron Rodgers, yes, but they got five sacks on Aaron Rodgers in the second half. Now, Mathis and Freeney were playing a little more healthy then. And everything went right for them in the second half. The offense finished drives. They played their best half of football of the season in that second half to come back from 21-3 down. I know Tom Brady. I've covered so many games with him. I know Rob Gronkowski. I know Wes Welker. I know how quick that ball comes out and how it's a different animal. It's a different beast. So the answer to your question is no, I don't think they can slow them down. I think the Patriots will be in the 30s today. The question will be, can Andrew Luck sustain enough offense to put some points up and make this game interesting?
Well, Philip, don't feel bad because it's pretty much unanimous. All of our guys behind enemy lines all pick against their teams. It's a funny dynamic. We've very, very few guys have picked for the upset. So that's not what we weren't looking for you to offer anything, controversial or anything like that.
Some of my colleagues have picked the game close. I've got it 34-23. I've got a couple colleagues that are there in the stadium today that have picked it one-score game. So they think that the Colts can make it interesting. And if they're right, I'm happy. I'm glad. The readers and the people that follow our stuff, they'll take more stock and more pride in a game that's competitive. But I'm fearful that the opposite is true, that Tom Brady and those guys will just run right out and build a big lead. And I haven't forgotten. I was in the stadium last year when it was 31-3. And the Patriots got bored, and then just, okay, and then Colts with their mishmash unit scored 3 touchdowns to make it a more interesting game at the end than it really was. I mean, that's the offense I know.
It's also the defense we know. That can happen.
Well, I was going to say, the good news from a Colts perspective is, while you're right, their defense probably hasn't seen an offense quite like Brady is throwing in the field today. They also, Luck hasn't seen a defense quite like the Patriots have put on the field. Remember, they helped make Russell Wilson look pretty good, a lesser rookie quarterback, so it's possible.
We always hold out for hope. I heard you guys talk about theories, right? We all have our theories. We love theories. That's what we live in the media world. So
that's right.
That's the theory, that if they can't get pressure on him, if the Colts can somehow protect Andrew Luck enough, this kid is special. I will tell you that. Whether he plays well or not today, he is special. And if they give him time, he will make throws. He does have guys who can get open. So it'll be a question of how many points they can put up, whether they can make this a scoreboard pinball machine type fun thing to watch, or whether it'll be a one-sided affair. That probably depends a lot on how that Patriots defense gets after Andrew Luck.
Philip, one more before we let you go here. I'm not sure if you've seen the Sal Palantonio report. Bruce Arians said his quarterback, Andrew Luck, is getting too many cheap shots to the head. Why those comments? Why now?
Well, I'm going to guess, knowing Sal and knowing how that works, that's a question that's going to be asked because there's been 5, I think, maybe 6 now. I don't know if the 6th one was a fine yet. Players have been fined for hits to the head on Andrew. And Andrew's not complained about it. He's not said word one. Arians, when we've asked him about it, didn't give an inflammatory answer like that, but he did acknowledge that those were hits that needed to be fined, and they were outside the lines. So it gets on TV, and everybody gets excited because maybe he says a little more vim and vigor, to a national TV guy. I can tell you that Arians hasn't made that a focal point, or hasn't made a big deal out of it when we've talked to him every day. So, but it is unusual. I don't know if it's a victim of circumstance or just guys trying to rattle the kid. I mean, he has taken 5 shots that were fined, and again, I don't know, there was one last week. I don't know if that guy got fined yet near the sideline. Clear shot to the head with a forearm, and we thought when we saw it, that's another fine. And what are the odds of a rookie quarterback taking 6 shots in 9 games where guys got fined? I mean, that's kind of quirky and kind of odd, but maybe that's just one way defensive coaches or defenses are trying to get into this kid's head by knocking his head silly, and that's football. I mean, I'm not going to whine and bellyache. That's football. That's part of the game. And Bruce might be lobbying a little bit by saying something like that to get a little attention. He's not stupid. He's been around this league a long time, so he makes an inflammatory comment to Sal Palantonio. He knows he's going to get out there before the game, but I doubt the referees are sitting there in the bowels of the Razor saying, oh, hey, Bruce is upset. We better take care of his quarterback today. I doubt that's going to be in the game plan for the Zebras.
All right, we will leave it there. He is Philip Wilson of the Indianapolis Star joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Philip, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, guys. Cheers.
Thank you.
So let's get your thoughts on that real quick before we
I have an important update to the Twitter.
Oh, sure.
The Twitter?
Patrick Chung has deleted said tweet.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
There now, you go. I think that absolutely lends credence to my man Andy Hart's theory.
Hard to say it's like a T-shirt deal if now he's deleted it. Wouldn't you just say, no, I was talking about a T-shirt deal or something, a business, you know, a side business deal.
Right. Clearly he was in a situation where, what am I doing? What am I doing? Why am I trying to create controversy? Yeah, that's...
Nothing good happens on Twitter.
Or his agent said, what the heck?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Or Bill Belichick's staff somewhere said, what the heck?
Said, what are you thinking, Patrick? So that's interesting. It's something we'll continue to monitor and take your thoughts on at 508-298-0398. Emails to webradio at patriots.com. Why? Why is Arians making these comments now?
I would say it's what Philip said, you know, that, you know, he's just trying to plant a seed in everybody's mind.
Absolutely.
You know,
and it's just it's not specific for this game. It is
no,
the accumulation.
It's basically he's saying, believe the hype. I have the next Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Treat him like that now. You wouldn't let this crap happen with Brady and Manning. Don't let it happen with my guy. I know he runs a little bit. I know he's a young player and you got to kind of earn, but he is an elite franchise quarterback who should be treated as such.
And you know, it also could have something,
but...
you know, I think that that's the larger point that Arians is probably making is what Andy said. But there's also, you know, you're going against a guy in Brandon Spikes who has recently been a controversial figure. Couple of fines now, got another big one this past week for a helmet shot on Ryan Fitzpatrick. So maybe he's looking at that and he wants to, you know, try to nip that in the bud.
Won't work.
No,
it might work with Chandler Jones or Rob Ninkovich.
Not with Spikes, it's not going to work.
And that's kind of one of the things I actually love about him. You know, you can call him whatever you want.
Continuing to get penalties?
No, just play your game. You got to play your game. If you allow the league to castrate you, then you're going to be useless on the field. And you got to play your game. Now, I think it was every bit of a penalty and a fine-worthy hit last week.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I am usually a big defender of the defensive players. I think they get absolutely screwed by the league. To me, there was no argument against that one.
No.
And I've seen all these Patriots fans, you know, radio hosts like Mike Felger up in arms, and I don't really see you have a leg to stand on. To me, that was textbook for a flag and a fine.
Face to face.
I don't.
To helmet. I mean, knock his helmet off with his helmet.
So, you know, I don't. But I also have no problem if Brandon Spikes continues to do that because, you know, just play your game. Try to slide your head, but.
The Fitzpatrick thing, I thought, with calling him a punk after the game. I don't know. I sort of think the Patriots defense needs more guys like that,
sure.
Right? Who get under your skin and who bother the other team, and that
which is what I've said. He's a punk, but he's our punk.
Yeah, exactly.
And we need a couple punks.
You know,
I wish Mayo was a little punkier.
I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to have a punk on the defense.
Nope.
I would agree with that. We'll continue to get into your thoughts here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, but we do want to check in with a member of our Patriots fan club.
You gotta fight for your right to eat.
Got a good tailgate?
Oh man, they are playing one hell of a party.
Think you're the loudest group at Gillette?
Woo-wee!
It's time we find out as we hear from our fan club of the week.
All right, to do that, we welcome in Joe from the Indy Patriots fan club. He's been waiting very patiently here to talk to us. And Joe, how's the atmosphere there?
Hi guys, how are you? The atmosphere is tense. I'll be honest with you.
Tense, you say?
Tense. We're scared of Andrew Luck, and it
wow.
Makes me sad to say that.
You shouldn't be. 10 touchdowns,
here
9
he
interceptions.
Here he
he
goes.
Scored 30 points once this year. He lost to the Jags. You have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Fair enough.
Jets. And Andy, you know, with ridiculous cliches. You should be afraid of those, too.
No, but honestly, the entire club is a little tense today?
A little. Well, have you, I mean... We've been impressed every week by our ability to blow leads.
No, wait a minute. This is a Patriots show.
Whoa, you're supposed to be a homer, you know.
Yes.
These fan clubs are supposed to be homers.
As a Patriots fan, I'm very confident today. As a Patriots observer and realist, I'm terrified.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I like it. I like the honesty.
Mm-hmm.
The two sides of your brains clashing, right?
Oh, it's like Fred Kirsch and Paul Perillo in my head.
Oh, man. You must have a big head.
Like Andy.
Hey, that took a turn for the ugly.
So, more importantly, what are we eating? Speaking of how fat I am.
Well, we have a bar and a restaurant right by the stadium. We've talked about it before on the show.
Yep.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
So we've got a full menu. We've got breaded pork tenderloins. We've got chicken. We've got, you name it, it's great bar food.
And how many people you got in the house today or expect in the house around game time?
Well, you know what? It's going to be probably overwhelmingly Colts today. We try and keep them out, but they spend money, so we can't.
Boo.
We'll probably have 20 to 30 Patriots fans and probably 100 Colts fans. But that's
nice. So 100 will go home upset because they're going to get their asses whooped today.
That's what we're hoping.
You shouldn't be worried. Even though I said I wasn't picking any more blowouts, the closer we get to game time, the more strongly I feel about
Andy's
a dominant
utter
win.
Disrespect for Andrew Luck is growing by the minute.
No, for the Colts, not for Andrew Luck,
No.
You win football games and you lose them as a team.
If I've heard you say it once, I've heard you say it 800 times this week. You got 10 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He's second coming.
He's overrated. What do you want me to tell you? He's overrated. 56% of his passes, overrated. 79 rating, overrated.
He can't do anything but spout the stats.
Well, he hasn't played the Patriots yet either, so we'll see what he does.
Good point. Touche. Touche. Although, Tom Brady hasn't played Darius Butler in a real game yet. He's beaten him up on the practice field, but he gets him in a real game today.
I think the Pats are absolutely knocking on 40 today.
You know, the other name, the backup, if he gets in at safety, the Sergio Brown character, worst defensive player in the history of the NFL.
Hello? Anyone?
Did you see Brandon Merriweather just got injured as well?
I saw the interception. I didn't see the injury.
I see that the Houston Texans are in some trouble at home to the Jaguars, but I didn't see the Merriweather. Merriweather got hurt, did you say?
Yeah, it looks like he was down and injured. Two-time Pro Bowler Merriweather.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Right.
So overall, you have some concerns about the defense long-term. That pretty much sums it up for Patriots fans, I would say. You're not alone. Enjoy the day. Have your good bar food. Get drunk. You'll have another win to talk about, and we'll do it all again next week. Does that pretty much sum it up, boys?
Yes, absolutely. Tell your listeners they need to get the Patriots Daily iPad app. It's a great Christmas gift.
That's Patriots Football Daily.
Nice. I like that.
Good job.
Somebody's got a pimp for us.
And we appreciate the phone call from Joe, our Patriots fan club in Indianapolis.
And, see you, Joe. You got to go. Inactives are out.
Andy Hart, we have the inactives. What do you got?
Well, since I can't open the picture sent by Patriots, I'll just believe that Fields Yates has them correctly. Aaron Hernandez,
yeah.
Logan Mankins, Dan Conley, Dan Fells, Patrick Chung. Jake Beckett and Justin Francis. I don't like that Francis one. I like him. What's going on there?
So that's the thing that jumps out the most, Justin Francis being out there?
Yeah, I knew all the other ones.
And look, we already talked about
Daniel Fells.
We already talked about Pat Chung's tweet and then subsequent deletion of that tweet. We know that Logan Mankins didn't practice all week. Aaron Hernandez not expected to be out there. Pat Chung not expected to be out there. Dan Connolly left the game last week. It's relatively what you'd expect, though we do know that Welker will be out there, which is also what we had been hearing. While we're on Wes Welker, how do you expect the Patriots to use him? Same as normal today? Do we see him limited whatsoever?
As a slot receiver.
So no limitations.
I thought I would beat Andy to the punch.
No, I think he'll be limited. I have my concerns about that ankle injury. When I saw him this week, I thought he was really working hard to walk without a limp, and I thought it was limping.
It's the second time in two straight games he's left early.
Well, yeah, and this is an injury that goes back more than a month now that clearly isn't getting better. It's getting worse. Getting x-rays after games, limping off field, as you said, consecutive games with a bye week in between. I have a concern of where this is going with him. And if he's a guy that if he loses his quickness, if he can't cut and go consistently in either direction, he's a significantly less receiver. And I also wonder if it's affecting his catching ability. You know, he had that awkward one, the awkward drop early, then the awkward looked like he got shot by a sniper middle of the field. I wonder, and you know, I'm not trying to be an apologist. I don't want to, you know, make excuses for him, but he just looked so utterly unathletic on that I wonder, is the ankle a part of that reason?
Yeah, I think
that's a concern for the guy who's the key to the offense.
Yeah, I think it's a big thing to keep in mind today. You know, just watching him and see just how close to himself he looks, because I agree with Andy. I thought the one coming out of the end zone, the 2nd and 10 play from the 1 yard line in the fourth quarter, cutting across the field and he just went down in a heap. That to me was related, to the ankle.
Yeah,
it had to be.
And I can tell you on the television broadcast, they're bending over backwards to say it was the sun in his eyes on the first one.
It may have been.
And I'm saying it was, but at the other side of the field later in the day, that other one is probably the one you would look to more and say, is Wes Welker right? Not so sure about it. Check in your emails to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Kyle writes in response to the Patrick Chung stuff we've been talking about. Again, inactive today. Tweeted.
Tweeted.
It's a new social media.
Dwesky,
I invented.
Dwabbit.
He tweeted earlier today, gotta love business, and then deleted it. We're just sort of reading into it a bit. And Kyle writes in, guys, Chung not playing well will ultimately cost him some money on his next deal. However, The low quality of play we've seen from him this year will cost him even more. I'm perfectly fine with parting ways with Chung at the end of the year, so long as we draft or sign someone who can actually cover. Wilson and Gregory are pretty poor in coverage as well, and the safety position is among the biggest areas of need looking forward. You guys agree or disagree?
I don't know if it's among the biggest, but I don't know where it's going to look like. You know, is McCourty a safety? Okay, well, theoretically, now you have a first and a second-round pick there along with a guy you gave starter money to in Gregory. Now, if Wilson can't cover, that's a blown draft pick because he's a guy that started at corner and safety in college. He should be a cover safety. I know he's a relatively thick guy and looked pretty big, but he should be a cover guy. He should be able to cover from the safety position. And if you have all of a sudden said he can't cover, well, I mean, you screwed up that evaluation then. You didn't draft him to be a strong safety.
Right. I'm with him. Yeah, you know, if Chung goes, I really like a lot of different things that Patrick Chung does. But the fact of the matter is he hasn't consistently been able to do the things that I like. He hasn't been able to play often enough.
Paul likes his players to play.
You know, it's a nice thing. It's a nice you know, quality in a player.
You know, and physically,
Jake Beckett, not one of Paul's favorite players.
I like the idea of him, you know, sort of being one of those around the line of scrimmage type safeties, but we haven't seen it enough. You know, and he hasn't been on the field enough to do it, and he definitely struggles in coverage. So if they lose him as a free agent, yeah, I don't think it would be a great thing, but it won't be a huge loss either.
It certainly looks...
I just think he's going to be one of those guys that he's not big enough, doesn't have a big enough body to play the style of football that he wants to play.
It certainly looks like a less significant blow than maybe we would have guessed coming into the season.
Well, back when, you know, people were saying, you know, he's a $40 million safety, $45 million safety.
Or at least maybe even franchise tag or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not looking like the case. By the way, early favorites for the franchise tag. I guess Welker aside, would it be Vollmer?
Vollmer would probably, I don't know what the number is there, but yeah, I'd have to say the way he's played.
Vollmer's played very well.
And he's the perfect candidate because of his health. You can get kind of a free year out of him. Without, you know, adding to the long-term nature of a deal. So, yeah, he might be the best. I wanted to bring up something before we move on.
Sure.
And I want to get people on the record, all of us. We're kind of on the record, but I want to know where fans want to see Devin McCourty. Because, you know, it's going to be easy in a week or two to say, oh, I wanted him at corner when he fails at safety, or I wanted him at safety all along when he's doing well at safety. Yep. I want to know where people think Devin McCourty is best suited and where he most helps this football team moving forward. Because I don't want the Monday morning quarterbacks in 2 or 3 weeks telling me, you know, Greg Bedard's been on the, he's got to be a safety, got to be a safety, got to be a safety.
He's been consistent.
So I give him credit, you know, say he's a safety.
Oh, yeah, no, Greg is steadfast that he
and
believes he should
I
be a
I would go
safety.
The other way. I want him at corner. I want to know what fans want, and I want to hear them say it before they actually see how it plays out.
Corner. So I'm going to go safety. And the guys I would like to see are Tlaib, Dennard, Chung, and McCourty, when all of them are healthy. I feel like I've seen enough from Gregory, and I was already skeptical with Gregory even when he came here. You know, is he a sub-package guy? Is he a starter for you? So that's what I would like to see. But I do think Dennard, from what we've seen the last couple of weeks, I'm feeling worse and worse about that. We'll continue with your feedback, and you can weigh in on Andy's question. Where do you want to see McCourty line up? When they're healthy, when the Patriots have everyone out there, should they ever get to that point, you know, where do you want to see these guys line up? 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com, and we'll get to the guys' keys for today's game against the Indianapolis Colts. We'll do that next here on patriots.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
This is Dante Hightower, the New England Patriots, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paul Perello on the Patriots Pregame Social.
How long are you going to let me go?
Well, how long can you whistle for? You sounded like you were running out of steam there. So I was, but I didn't know if
maybe you hadn't turned your mic on again.
No. That only happens to me
when you're talking to guests.
I'd say 2 or 3 times an episode. That's what I would say. It's hour number 2, Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios here on Patriots.com. Andy, you tossed out a question a few moments ago about where Patriots fans want to see McCourty line up. What are you getting for responses?
First one, corner. Next one, corner. But then safety with Chung and Dennard and Tlaib at corner. So it is not unanimous, certainly, in any sense. And that's what I wanted, because I don't want, as I said, it may play itself out and kind of look obvious in a month. I want to know what people really thought. And right. I'm with Paul. He just said it off the air. I continue to say you drafted him as a corner. For some period of time, he was a competitive/Pro Bowl corner. I think that's one of the most valuable positions in the National Football League, and it's a hard one to fill. I want to see him at corner, and I actually thought he was better this year than he was last year. So that's another reason I want to see him maybe develop there, get some consistent play at safety around him, see what we can do when he doesn't have Sergio Brown, Matthew Slater, and those types of people behind him. So I want him at corner.
Yeah, I said all of that off the air. I just think they're harder to find. And, you know, is he the best? Is he Darrelle Revis? No, he's not. But until you have two guys that I think are significantly better than him, and I don't think they have that right now, I still have, despite some struggles, that man crush on Alphonso Dennard. I'm not giving up on him, but I agree with the way Andy just said. I think McCourty has been a little bit better this year. I remember back to that rookie year. I remember some of the things that he did, and I haven't forgotten all of that. I think he's a corner. I think they're harder to find, and you drafted him in the first round.
Let's be fair. The Patriots have struggled to find safeties too.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, Chung can't stay healthy. You know, you
went out and got Gregory
T-Mod Wilson and Ebner.
Has been the answer. You
Gregory
drafted
Chung. Yeah, it's been a mess. Craig weighs in, by the
Which
way,
is
web
what
radio.
I said earlier.
Web
they
radio
all suck.
At patriots.com. Guys, so the question from McCourty was safety or corner. How about bench?
Oh, come on. He's not one of your best four defensive backs.
Okay. I think safety, he continues. I think safety is better for him because he's a good tackler and can put people in position better with a safety's view of the field. Isn't that what's sort of weird about McCourty? Like his rookie year, he was so good at turning and locating the football, or maybe just taking advantage of bad passes or whatever it was.
There was some of that, but no, you're right. He would run stride for stride on the guy's kind of back hip, look up at the last, and get the ball.
It's just, I hear where fans are coming from with the safety's view of the field. He's facing the line of scrimmage. I do get that, but at the same time, we have seen him do it before, and it's just, that's the case, or why this case of McCourty is so strange, because we all saw it when he was a rookie. We saw him, if not play at a Pro Bowl level, he played in the Pro Bowl and certainly had, plenty of interceptions that year. So whatever it was, 7 or 8. And, you saw him locating the football. It's just weird that you could lose that in a season. Now to the point where people are saying, well, he needs to play an entirely different position. Some are at least saying he needs to play an entirely different position.
And then the whole thing about, he can get guys in position. Well, that's great. But now I feel like, you're devaluing the playmaking aspect of playing football. Yeah, it's great. You want to have somebody back there you can count on. Somebody who was heady. Okay, so put James Sanders back there. You could count on him. He knew what he was doing. He was, a coach on the field or whatever. At some point, you have to be looking for playmakers. It's sort of like, Gerard Mayo. He's worth $50 million because he knows where to put everybody up front. Yeah, well, no, he should be worth $50 million if he makes plays.
And I would also say if there were examples of him, moving to safety and like, oh, my God, it's night and day, and he's making all these plays, then I wouldn't look at it and say, well, it's a waste of a first-round pick because you wanted him to be a cornerback. But I haven't seen that. I mean, if he's better at safety, it's been marginal. I would argue that I don't think there's been really any discernible difference.
Couple votes coming in, both of them corner. So I think corner is in the lead right now.
People on the chat overwhelming want him at corner.
And clearly, that's the informed opinion.
Right, the informed opinion as opposed to my opinion. So look, when you're talking about the addition of Tlaib, which is obviously where we're eventually going with this, if and when they ever get healthy on the back end, which four guys are...
Assuming they're not healthy.
Correct. Which guys do you want out there?
Because
Pat Chung is certainly insinuating that maybe he's healthy. With Tlaib, though, and you kind of got to this earlier... what do you expect to see him line up as in terms of, do you leave him on an island? Do you have him just locked on one guy? How do you expect the Patriots to utilize him?
Oh.
I don't think they're just going to leave him on an island and lock him up. I think he's going to play the left side and, they'll play their pretty much their normal coverages with him. And I don't think they're just going to match him up on, just on one guy all day. I don't think that is.
But are you setting yourself up for
failure?
Because everybody says that's when he's good, when you match him up. Let him play man, match him up. So now you're saying but you're not going to let him help you.
Well, there's no reason why he can't help me playing.
If he's not good
team,
at it, then
football.
He's not going to help you. If you acquired a guy knowing that theoretically he's at his best when he plays man corner and then you don't let him man up, aren't you just kind of wasting the acquisition?
I don't look at it that way, no. I think that if he can only do one thing, then you already wasted your acquisition.
Is there a possibility that there's a slight philosophy change where you have Dennard, who in college was more of a up-in-the-face, gym-at-the-line kind of guy? That's what Tlaib is. Mm-hmm. Do you maybe see the change with those two guys as, being your corners, McCourty back at safety?
Could be. I mean, they've certainly done that with Dennard a lot this year, and he's very open saying, that's my game. That's what he wants to do. So, certainly, we could see that.
They're allowed to do that. That's not something that Bill says, no, I don't want you up there jamming at the line. It's certainly allowed to do that. I don't know. We'll see how it all unfolds.
It was the Carlos Dansby play.
Yeah, did that actually work?
I don't know.
Is that what happened?
I think so. He threw it back in.
Yeah, it looks like they're celebrating.
Wow.
In the
second greatest
Arizona
play I've
game.
Ever seen. Carlos Dansby used to be on that team. He's not anymore. So.
Dolphins.
So we will take your thoughts, though, on the secondary. Maybe the Carlos Dansby play, if you want to weigh in on that as well.
I was back in college.
And the secondary, where you want to see these guys line up. 508-298-0398.
What about that's offense? Are we just whistling past a graveyard?
Well, your emails go to webradio.
Patriots
at Patriots.com. Yeah. I'll tell you what,
Welker,
guys.
You mean?
Each and every week, we focus in on...
Welker, Hernandez.
Each and every week,
two guards down.
We focus in on the game, the Patriots matchup that day.
The game.
They take on the Colts. 4:25 Eastern time.
Head down.
You can pick anything you want for your keys to the game. Let's get into them now.
You've waited all week for it.
No, I can't wait.
Really. Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
So, you know, you want to talk offense here, Andy. You have the floor. This is your key to the game, whatever you would like it to be.
My key to the game is the offense. And regardless of what's happening on the other side, I think they need to come out and throw the ball on backup corners like Darius Butler and build a lead and let everything else fall into place after that. I think they need to, you know, turn back the clock a little bit on the old step on the throat. I still want to see them run it, but, you know, they're just not good enough right now to play, I think, just traditional football. I think they're going to be at their best if they go back to Brady saying, we're trying to kill people. Now I have my concerns about the health level of the offense right now a little bit. But against these corners, I think they should be able to build a 14, 17, 21-point lead and let everything else fall into place.
I'm almost never in favor of the running game being the key early in the game. I think it is today in a lot of ways. I think the one way that Indianapolis potentially could cause some difficulty to the Patriots' offense is Freeney and Mathis, and I think you neutralize them by running the football. Indy's run defense has been bad. I think this is how you get a lead. You get out, get out in front, put pressure on Luck to keep up. I agree with Andy. If you have a fast start offensively, I think that's going to play, and I think you get that today. Rare for me, but by running the football early.
Luckily, either of us could be, because they suck on defense. So
yeah, and unfortunately,
they forgot the suck for Luck part was over on defense. They just still suck, and they got Luck.
But even if you get that fast start, I wouldn't say go fire up the grill and enjoy the rest of the day and don't worry about the second half, because we've seen this defense have a unbelievable inability to hold leads, and even last year when they had the 31-3 lead with the worst football team that you've seen in a while. Dan Orlovsky at the helm, 21 quick points, and all of a sudden it was a game. So even if you get that fast start, the game isn't over.
When we talk about Andrew Luck and what you've seen from him thus far this year, I guess that mobility that, you know, we've seen him with the 5 rushing touchdowns or whatever it is this season, when we were talking with the guy from the Indy Star earlier in this game.
Philip,
whatever his name was.
Wilson.
Yeah. When he joined us earlier.
The guy from the Indy Star.
In the program.
This is like a professional radio host here. This is a guy whose name is being thrown out to take over for 98.5 The Sports Hub at night. And he goes, the guy from Indy.
You know, the guy
that's
from Indy.
That's something I would say.
The guy from Indy when he joined us earlier.
You are rubbing off on Joe.
Philip Wilson.
Seriously. But, I mean, at least he keeps like note cards and stuff in front of him. I thought one of them said Philip Wilson, not the guy from Indy.
The guy from the Indy Star is what I said. It was a little more specific than just the guy from Indy. The guy from the Indy Star. When he joined us, he's talking about that mobility and part of the reason why we've seen Luck get the hits. How big of a factor is that with him?
Oh, I think it's a big factor. I mean, you look at him, they clearly have designed rollouts to run. You know, these aren't, you know, and Bill talked about that's one of the differences between the Pittsburgh aspect with Roethlisberger, who's also big, athletic, and makes some plays with his feet, but they're plays that just sort of come out of the play itself, the rush, and he keeps plays alive, whereas they clearly have some rollouts designed for Luck. To run the football, especially on the goal line. He's got a couple of those. And, you know, he's a big guy. You can bounce off him. You certainly could see guys like that, similar to Roethlisberger, bounce off him and not, if you don't lock him up, bring him down. So I think that's a concern anytime you face a guy that's an aspect of his game.
And you were talking, I think it was a caller earlier, was talking about the
linebackers.
Wasn't
the guy from the Indy Star was
no,
a caller? Yeah.
No, it was literally a guy because it was a caller. I don't know if it was Melvin or maybe Jeff. I don't know, but the whole missing tackles, the linebackers in space with spill, you know, Andrew Luck, that's not a mismatch for the Patriots in the advantage of the Patriots linebackers. He's a good runner. He's not RG3, but he can run. So if they get him out, like Andy says, on some design plays where they're looking to make him a runner, I think he can make some plays that way. He has five rushing touchdowns. They're not all quarterback dives. They're not dynamic 75-yard runs
either. Those ones against the Jaguars, they're rollouts, and he punches it in. Yeah.
And it's a concern with all these people that want to go man coverage. That's a concern, because if those corners are running off with their receivers, all of a sudden he's got 10, 15 yards down the field. But even in zone, it's a concern, because these guys that have sucked already in coverage, now you're giving them something else to deal with. Do I come up and then he just dropped it over my head and there's a guy running down the sideline with the ball. Do I not come up and he's running me? So anytime you sort of challenge the edge there, challenge the line of scrimmage, that gives those guys something more to think of, and we know they've struggled with what they've had to think of already.
Do you want to get back into your phone calls, your emails, your feedback here, and your thoughts on this game? And we'll do that after we head back over to the poll center with Matt LePan.
So we had our first poll of the cornerback position. It was a no contest, 83% for Tlaib and Dennard. And now we have which Colts player possesses the biggest threat for the Patriots' chance of winning? Andrew Luck, Reggie Wayne, Dwight Freeney, Darius Butler, Robert Mathis, Donnie Avery. And bit of a surprise right now. Reggie Wayne, 69%, Andrew Luck, 31%.
And nobody on defense.
Nobody else got a vote.
Interesting.
Nobody on defense. I would have to agree with that. See, I mean, if the Colts were to, if you're operating under the assumption that the Colts win the game, you know, for the poll, and you're saying who poses the biggest threat, then I think you can make a case for Freeney and
Mathis.
I think without turnovers, the Colts can't win this game.
That's kind of what I'm talking about.
And the turnovers come from either Freeney or Mathis.
And I guess my feeling on it is,
not going to pick off a lot of passes. They have four interceptions?
The Patriots, Darius Butler's got two.
Five.
Haven't the Patriots sort of done a decent job?
Tremendous.
On number one guys, right? Like, it seems like the guys who hurt him are...
Oh, not what I thought you were saying.
The T.Y. Hilton guys, or, you know, Donnie Avery, like, those types seem like the guys who might hurt the Patriots more in this matchup than, say, a Reggie Wayne. They've taken away Larry Fitzgerald earlier this season.
Yeah, but that's because Kevin Cobb was the quarterback. Not because of what they did to Larry Fitzgerald.
I guess that's fair, but, you know...
Jeremy Curley was their number one, and he had a 140 or something.
Probably his best game as a pro.
So I was just going to cite, you feel like he was their number one in that. I mean, I guess
in
the
Jets game,
yeah,
absolutely.
See, I guess I feel like he's their best receiver.
If you didn't think he was number one, Dustin Keller was, and he had seven for another 100.
I just feel like Luck would be my vote. That seems like the obvious
one.
Luck would be my vote because I don't know. I feel like he can throw to any of them. I could see any of their receivers having a big day. Their tight end, Dwayne Allen. I could see T.Y. Hilton.
I'm fixated on this. They scored 30 points once, and even against this bad defense,
they
find it hard to believe he can do it on his own. I think he needs to do something from Freeney, Mathis, one of those guys, to swing the field, change the game, keep it under 30 maybe because of a couple turnovers. Otherwise, you know, I think he could have a great game and do, you know, sort of what we saw last week, lose 37-31 or 38-35. I just don't think he has enough to win a shootout with Tom Brady right now.
Yeah, I'm with him 100%. They don't have the kind of firepower to keep up. So if the Patriots have a normal offensive day and they get, you know, into the 30s, I just think that's asking too much without the benefit of some help. Defensive
Plus
score
a, I mean,
or a
There's
return.
A 25 turnover difference between these two teams. Plus 16
five,
to minus 9.
And it's like,
I mean,
but only
ridiculous.
Five takeaways or something
yeah,
like that
they
all year?
No, because they don't turn it over a lot.
No, I know.
They're just minus.
But the takeaway, I mean, they haven't been able to take the ball away. So now you're saying in order to keep up, they have to take it away. Do you know what I mean? That's something they haven't really done all year.
Continuing with
suck
the
emails. With Luck. That can be our cover. Suck instead of suck for Luck.
Suck
with Luck.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
Well, they won't let me use Luck off if Luck has a bad day.
It's another good one.
That
Luck yourself.
Just so you know, the they in that is not, well, I'm not part of
the the man who thought it was okay to say, are you reffing kidding me, won't let me use Luck off.
Right. Because when he said Luck off,
I
immediately, I was like, that's it.
It's money. That's gold.
Maybe the joke that you played on him made him think that. He might think on Fred, the reffing kidding me, the
oh, that wasn't me. That was Brian Maury.
They played the joke on you, correct? With the reffing kidding
me? Well, I was in on
we were part of the joke. We were part of the, you know, we didn't know about it.
It's got Fred worried.
Could be.
Got Paul worried,
Luck
too.
Off.
I just think if he thought of Luck off, we would be running it right now.
Yeah. See, that's part of it. Our goal today is to convince Fred, subliminally trying to make Fred think that he came up with it.
Continue with the emails, webradio at patriots.com. Another touchdown
for
Bilal Powell.
The Niners.
Sean writes into webradio, patriots.com. Guys, is Brady on his way for another MVP season?
Certainly could be.
He's in the running. Absolutely.
I mean, especially in a year when a guy like J.J. Watt is getting legit consideration, and traditionally it's an award that goes to quarterbacks. And if he's given credit for carrying a defense the way Manning used to get credit for carrying a defense with as bad as this defense has been. And if he can do, you know, he's got a couple games coming up that'll be crucial to that, I think, playing Houston, playing San Francisco, two top defenses. But if he has big games against those guys, I certainly think you could see him as an MVP.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the stats he puts up and the points they've been putting up this season, you would assume he's typically going to be in the mix.
And the albatross that he's got around his neck, known as, you know, that defense.
And one of the guys that got a lot of consideration early on, you know, at the halfway point, you know, those midseason awards, was Matt Ryan, who is suddenly turning the ball over at a rapid rate, having a tough game today again. So he's sort of not there for the long run. Maybe that's not fair, but that's how I feel about him. To me, it's Manning and Brady. Rodgers probably will be heard from before it's all said and done, but that team still doesn't look the same to me. And they're in another dogfight today with Detroit, Green Bay. So, yeah, I think Brady is very much in the running for MVP. And, like Andy likes to say, who's any good? You know, so why not Brady? I mean, there's no good team.
And it's sort of, at this point, it's sort of narrowing down the list, and then December sort of decides it, right?
Right.
I mean, it always does.
Yeah.
Michael Vick, three years ago, was going to be the MVP until he wasn't. They fade. Guys fade. And you generally think Brady's not going to fade. He may not have lights-out numbers in December, but he's probably not going to throw six interceptions in a two-week span or something like that either to fade out of the race.
It's Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo here on Patriots.com. And as we do during each and every Patriots pregame social, we're going to give away a pair of Bose headphones. The eighth caller to the contest line, 508-298-0392. Again, the contest line, 508-298-0392. Wins a pair of Bose SIE2 Sport headphones. To push your workout to the limit, you need headphones that can keep up. Bose SIE2 Sport headphones are engineered for exercise, offering acclaimed Bose sound, sweat and weather resistance, and comfortably secure and exclusive Reebok Fitness armband. You demand more from your workout. Shouldn't you demand more from your headphones as well? Bose, game-changing sound. We'll take your thoughts here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We'll also wrap things up by heading up to the press box and doing our weekly six-pack, and we'll actually make it a five-pack next. You're on Patriots.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Woo!
Get inside the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
We're just talking about Matt Ryan struggling a bit, just threw another pick in that game against the Cardinals. As we're about an hour away from kickoff between the Patriots and Colts, 4:25 kickoff here from Foxborough. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Guys, we've been looking over some of the emails here to web radio at Patriots.com. Your guy, Albert, writes in. Guys.
Hey, more fat Albert.
Al from Italy.
He's got big meatballs, you know?
I have faith in the team. The defense is stupid. I don't understand why you're so sure they're going to win easily.
I'm not.
The Bills are disgusting. Well, you picked the Patriots to cover.
Yes, I know.
Okay. Oh, so you're equivalent
not sure.
With sure, not your prediction.
I don't want to pick blowouts, but I think the Colts blow. I think they're a team ready to be blown out on the road. Luck is worse on the road than he is at home. And let's be honest, he's not that dominant no matter wherever he plays.
There it is!
And I just think a team with a -9 turnover ratio, everything about the Colts screams to me the Patriots are going to walk on you. Now, everything about the Patriots screams to me a young quarterback who can throw the ball a lot, he's going to walk all over you. So it scares me, but I'm kind of like the guy, Philip, you know, the guy from Indy that you called him, the guy from Indy?
Yeah, the guy from the Indy Star.
I don't know. Closer to the game we get, the more likely I think it's a blowout.
You think
earlier in the week I had the Bills game in my rearview mirror and I'm thinking, mm-hmm. No more blowouts. I'm off blowouts. They're not that good. Now maybe I'm falling into the Aqib Talib savior trap. I don't know, but it's going to be a blowout.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think the Patriots will cover, but that doesn't necessarily add up to a blowout for me. I think for a while it'll go back and forth, and I think eventually the Patriots will have too much offense and they'll pull away. But I don't look at this as like the Rams game.
Oh, I don't think it'll be that
big.
You
know, where it's 28-7 at the half and the game's over.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that
I don't think it'll be like that. I think it'll be a slow, methodical, because I don't see the Patriots punting often today. And I think slowly but surely the Colts will have to punt a couple of times, and that's where the gap comes.
Continuing the emails, webradio, patriots.com. It's where Thomas writes in on the secondary. Guys,
Tomas.
The starting secondary, is it Tomas? The starting secondary for the season should be Tlaib and Dennard at corner, Arrington in the slot, Gregory and McCourty at safety, keeping closer to the line of scrimmage for run support, in McCourty's case, and letting him cover tight ends and blitz a little bit. Chung is a waste, as injured as Bob Sanders is, without the production. We need someone to count on and get continuity back there, and that's what McCourty can do.
Well, that's the interesting aspect of it. That Belichick comment from a couple weeks ago about looking for the continuity is interesting. Now, I don't know what that means, necessarily.
It's another point against the he's healthy, but they don't want to play him because they don't want to pay him theory.
What?
Belichick wants to get the guys out there so he can get some continuity, yet he's going to choose to sit him another week so they don't have to pay him.
Oh, I could see them doing that.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I think Belichick would do anything to save money.
Yeah, I don't know. The Texans are going to lose, by the way.
Yeah, Blackman's got 220-something yards in that 81-yard touchdown where they just didn't tackle him. They had three guys ganging
it's
up
on
him.
It's been a lot of those plays.
They
just
couldn't bring him down. Officer. Yeah, you know, for as good as that Houston secondary is supposed to be, it's sort of looking like that Pat secondary out there right now.
Getting back to my point for the year.
Yeah.
The overwhelming thought for the league for the year is
they
what?
They suck.
The league blows. It's bad football. There's no great teams. There's some competitive teams that aren't even really all that good.
Fred's even talking smack now. He's emailing in the show, talking smack about the Texans.
Of course he is.
And you can even break it down a little further, too. It's the AFC, right? Even if you're going to
Oh, no, I think the NFC blows, too.
Yeah, I don't think the NFC has anything that's I think they
any
have
league
more,
that has Jay Cutler's team as,
I think
like
there are more good teams.
Alex Smith's team is elite. You're not that good.
I guess that's a good
I
point.
I think there are more good teams in the NFC than the AFC, but I don't think there are any more elite teams in the NFC than there are in the AFC.
No, because zero and zero is zero.
It's pretty equal.
I agree with my loudmouth friend.
Circling back to Belichick for a second, and I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on this earlier, and I got
friend.
Away from it. What'd you think of his comments on Vinatieri earlier this week?
I thought they were honest and factual, right? I mean,
yeah, I didn't really think a lot of them. I know that they ran with him. They got a lot of legs, but...
Wait, why did they run with him?
I don't know. Everybody wrote all about Bill's thoughts on kicking and Adam, and I just didn't think it was all...
Oh, I thought it was somewhat interesting because there aren't any. You know, the limited and a Hall of Fame coach who, you know, anytime he does this, anytime he deems somebody elite, he did it with Jason Witten, he did it with Larry Fitzgerald, it gets a lot of run, you know. And I think that's all it is basically him saying, you know, because you might think of him as a guy that maybe wouldn't be for it. You know, he's old school and he doesn't like kickers and the importance they play. And he's clearly saying, no, what more could they do? They hit their kicks that they're supposed to hit. You know, what more could Adam Vinatieri do? It's going to go in his little binder. You know, they put together binders when they're trying to promote guys for Hall of Fame. I got to think Bill Belichick's
that's in there
in the binder.
It's like his official.
It's a little
like,
biased.
Like
no, don't get me wrong.
Right, like a presidential.
He'd have a
endorsement
boat named Two Rings without Vinatieri,
like Colin Powell. You know, that's sort of it's sort of that type of endorsement from Belichick.
It's good to have on the resume. Yeah. Sure,
no, that's a good point. 508-298-0398. You can weigh in on this game as we're about a little less than an hour away from kickoff between the Patriots and Colts. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. We'll head
not
up to the press box.
Not cold enough out to affect luck, is it? Sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt. But
no. We'll answer your own question.
It's a little chilly out there. He's an indoor
I don't know
California boy.
I don't know what it's like now either, but it was remarkably still in terms
right.
of wind, so I can't imagine it would bother anybody today. It's a beautiful day.
When the sun
goes chilly, down. If he's chilly, I can let him borrow my scarf. I broke out the scarf for the first time this weekend. So, yeah, we could.
Although right now, he doesn't look so good.
We could have him break that out.
He's got like a beard. He's got no hair. He's just kind of.
Well, he is a goofy little sort.
For Pagano?
He is. Yeah. Goofy is.
You can't make fun of him.
Goofy is the right word.
Well, Indianapolis.
He's a goofy little
guy. I can think it was a nice gesture, but still say he looks ridiculous.
Indianapolis and their goofy Gomer quarterbacks.
The guy I can't make fun of is Pagano. He didn't choose to shave his head.
I think this guy makes Peyton Manning look like Tom Brady.
Yeah.
In that regard.
Rico Suave.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we will head up to the press box in a little bit. We can get a feel on the weather out there at the stadium. But first, let's do our weekly Sunday
right
six-pack.
Nothing like cracking open a six-pack. Andy, Paul, and Adam pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday six-pack.
All right, Collins, what do you got?
Ugly week last week.
For me specifically, right? Yeah, I feel like Paul, I really
nobody over 500
pulling up the rear.
Paul and Andy yeah. 3-3,
doing something up the rear.
No doubt about that. Jones 2-4 last week. The standings are: Paul is 20-14, leading the pack. Adam
is a surprise.
Adam 18-16. Andy 16-18.
So, all right,
he's gaining on you, Jones.
I'm coming for you.
Yeah, I got
see,
that.
You can see him in the rearview
mirror. It's all leveling out a little bit. As we said, with the
was that English?
leveling out a little bit there. You know,
sounds like Tito. Oh my God,
we said
like a Millsy.
We said with the MVP race earlier.
It's like Diane Sawyer.
You gotta get through that first part, and then you get to December, and I'll start to open things up a little bit. Oh, a little bit.
Okay.
What's our first game?
First game: Indy at New England. New England 9.5.
I'll take the Patriots to win and cover. I'm feeling better about this each and every minute we get closer to the football game. Andrew Luck just doesn't have the horses to keep pace with Tom Brady and company. And when Darius Butler is his top corner, he's in trouble.
That's how I feel. I think there's just too much offense for the Patriots here, and I don't see a shootout going Indianapolis' way. I'll lay the points, but like I said, I don't think this is just going to be a blowout from the get-go. I think it'll be a methodical inching away, and by the end, I think they'll have that two-score win.
If Mark Sanchez and Ryan Fitzpatrick can keep it a one-possession game in Foxborough, I don't know. I think Andrew Luck can do it, so give me Indy.
All right, negative. Game two, San Diego at Denver, Denver by 7.5.
I like Denver in this one. I think that they have sort of found their stride. I think Manning's played well. I think the defense is playing a little bit better, and San Diego, to me, is one of those teams that right now, I don't know how you can feel good about anything they're doing, and I certainly don't feel good about North Turner's future. So I'm going to take the Broncos.
The worst interceptions this year have been thrown in the National Football League by Philip Rivers. Yep. Some of the ugliest throws you will ever see going on the road in Denver against Peyton, as Paul says. They are hitting stride, and I think the Denver Broncos win and cover.
So we'll make it a clean sweep. I think that the Broncos are getting a little too much love because of who they've been beating recently. But
like the Colts?
Yeah.
No, I mean, the Colts are getting too much
love. Oh, like so the Colts are getting too much love. I just think once they've hit this easy portion of their schedule, you've looked up, they've lost to the Patriots, they've lost to the Texans. They did get that win early in the season over the Steelers. But in
they
general,
fought tough.
No, yes.
And I think we all said at the time, this could pay off for them.
Correct.
You know, being in these situations.
I'm just saying, they've beaten up on a fatter part of their schedule or an easier portion of their schedule.
Luckily, the Chargers are part of it.
I totally agree with that. This is as much a negative pick with San Diego as it is a pro-Denver pick, so we'll make it a clean sweep with the Broncos.
Game three, New Orleans at Oakland. New Orleans by 5.
Yeah, I liked the Saints last week against Atlanta. I think that they are playing a little bit better, and I will definitely lay the points against Oakland. Little concern, sometimes teams that don't go to Oakland a lot struggle when they go there. And I'm sure New Orleans hasn't been in Oakland very often, but I will take them. I will take the Saints, that I should say.
I'll take them
to cover the 5 points.
I am developing these rules, and I pick against certain quarterbacks in the NFC, the AFC West. One of them is Philip Rivers right now because I think he's pretty bad quarterback making mistakes, and one of them annually is Carson Palmer. The worst trade in NFL history continues to harm the Oakland Raiders. He'll do his usual and throw picks. He loses. He stinks.
Yeah,
Saints win.
We're going to do another clean sweep, and maybe this was a poor choice on games. But, you know, when you look at the Raiders giving up 55 points and you look at the way the Saints can score, I don't know. I think they should be able to cover 5 on the road. What's next, Kevin?
Game 4, Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Baltimore by 3.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be the walkover that a lot of other people do. I think Pittsburgh is accustomed to playing without Ben Roethlisberger. They've had to do it occasionally, and when they do, generally, they really do one of those circle-the-wagon-type efforts, and defensively they step it up. I think Baltimore's going to win the game, and I will lay the 3 points, but I think this is going to be just your typical ugly 17-13 kind of AFC North game between the two best teams in that division over the last decade. I will take Baltimore, but in Pittsburgh, I am not putting this in the win column for the Ravens blindly. I think it'll be a tough game.
Yeah, I think the Ravens will win and cover, but Paul's right. I think they have enough athletes, playmakers, guys who have pride so that they can step their games up. Looks like Mendenhall, I think, is going to be back. Mm-hmm. You know, they have guys like Wallace that can hit a big play at any time. You know, defensively, they're obviously a physical team. They can knock the ball free at any time. I feel like they're going to be game to make it a game. But in the end, I just don't think they're going to have enough to get the job done. So I'll take Baltimore to win and cover.
I probably should have done a little bit more research on this, but I feel like they do play well when Roethlisberger's out, right? Like, I feel like when it, whether it's been Leftwich, whether it's been Dixon, whoever it's been, Charlie Batch, and I know that's going back a ways, but I feel like they don't drop off much. I'm going to take the Steelers at home in this one. The Ravens are coming off a complete beatdown of the Raiders last week. They know there's no Ben Roethlisberger. They know they're going against Byron Leftwich. Maybe they take him a little light. I will take the points at home for the Steelers.
You're looking good, Andy. You're looking real good.
I'm going to kick his ass this week.
Last game, Chicago at San Francisco. San Francisco by a touchdown.
This one I'm going to go against Chicago specifically because of the missing their quarterback. This is a team that hasn't shown the ability to overcome that. Even though Cutler is having just an average at best season overall, I will lay the points here and take San Francisco to bounce back after a bad performance last week.
Yeah, I will as well. A good defense that I think will give Jason Campbell problems. He's another guy I'm against. He's one of these too cautious. You need to make some plays to play the quarterback position. Man, you remember years ago he'd be on the Redskins and he'd be like having a good year, but in week 12 he'd have like six touchdown passes, like, because he's afraid to try to make plays. You can't win without making plays in this league. And I think Kaepernick is showing the ability that he can make enough plays. Even against that defense, you know, it might only take a couple plays for him to kind of swing that game. So I think the home team with the better backup or more exciting backup quarterback and a good defense wins this game.
Another missed kick?
Yeah. Crosby just missed another field goal.
Anyway, I'll make my pick if you guys don't mind. I'm also going to go with San Francisco in this scenario. 7-point game. Which is a big number for a team like the Niners to cover. I do think they do it. So that's a clean sweep there. So the only games where anyone is any different, I'm different than you guys on Baltimore-Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And on this
Paul,
one today.
Indy and Paul are the same.
They're the same.
I'm going to tie you.
Just one like mind over there.
You took Chicago?
No. Oh. I took the Niners. I took Pittsburgh and the Colts.
In both
cases to cover. You can get in touch, 508-298-0398. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Dylan writes in. Guys, how you doing? Just wanted to give my prediction for today's game. Patriots 38, Colts 24. Do I get Browning points if I come close? Ha ha. Should I know what Browning points are? Is this an inside PPGS?
Right, Andy. Insert sick joke here, Andy.
I wasn't listening.
It could have meant brownie points. That's true. That could have been what he meant to say.
We got one of my favorite tweets of the year.
Yep.
They're continuing to answer the McCourty safety corner question, and the_MagnetMG tweets, McCourty is a corner. Nothing I've seen thus far would suggest he can play corner long term. Admittedly, you could say the same thing of CB.
What?
Cornelius Bennett?
No, I'm assuming he means cornerback.
Oh.
So he listed corner for everything. He's a corner. Nothing I've seen thus far suggests he can play corner, but admittedly, you could say the same thing about corner.
Yeah. I don't know.
So I don't know what the guy means. He screwed up somewhere in there, but I don't know where.
These are our people.
These are our people, and we love them, damn it.
Right.
Even though it's ridiculous.
So, you know, we've been talking a lot about how this secondary does fit together, and we've been taking a lot of your thoughts on how you think it should fit together, particularly when they're healthy. And
does it matter?
You'd like to think it does if you're a Patriots fan, right?
As I hinted at last segment.
Otherwise, there's nothing they can do about it, which I would say is a...
But does it matter?
It's not where you want to feel as a Patriots
fan. We're talking about the crap-ass league, and we saw a bad defense face bad teams down the stretch, bad quarterbacks, you know, start to feel good about itself, you know, kill Tim Tebow in the playoffs, get a, you know, lucky break with the Lee Evans play here, and go to a Super Bowl and be competitive in that Super Bowl despite having a terrible defense. And I just, as much as we spend all this time about Talib and McCourty and this and that, to me, maybe we should spend the time on the other side and say, without Logan Mankins and Dan Conley and Aaron Hernandez, and if Wes Welker is limited, is this team going to go to a Super Bowl?
Yeah, you know, in any
because if 37 comes down, instead of getting 37 a game, you're down to 30. Well, now you might start losing because I don't really have a lot of hope in the defense. My hope, I'm where I am last year. You got to score.
And I like the way Andy's been saying this all year. You know, a bad team's going to win the Super Bowl. It might as well be you.
Right.
You know, and that's
a bad team with bad flaws is going to win the Super Bowl. They're going to hand the Lombardi Trophy to a crap team.
And bad is relative. You know, it's a good team, but not a great team.
But I'm, you know, even here, you know, we have, you know, championship teams to measure against. This is not a good team. This is not, you know, equivalent to a previous Super Bowl winner here. And, you know, it's fine. They, you know, the ring, you know, the ring will be just as nice. The trophy will be just as nice. The parade will be just as nice. The Super Bowl cover from Sports Illustrated, the collectible one, the little leather one, will be just as nice. There'll be a witty headline on PFW and all that. But that doesn't mean you're the best football team we've ever seen. You know, there's woohoo historic football team. But I just have more of a concern about the offense falling off than I do hope that the defense gets better. You know, to me, that could be a bigger factor in whether this team goes one round of the playoffs, two rounds of the playoffs, where it goes. Because if you're not able to compete offensively, then I think you're in trouble.
You know, look,
who are you typing to over there?
I'm texting back and forth. Don't worry about it.
With who?
Don't worry about it.
Is this a fantasy football related thing?
No. It's just observing some of these football games. That's all. As we get ready to head up to the press box momentarily. Look,
your girlfriend?
I understand the point.
Jesus.
I understand
your boyfriend?
The point about
I'm open to things here. It's Massachusetts. We're liberal.
I understand the point about is this defense good enough to get away with it? And look, last year they were. And I think you can make the case that this year they're certainly turning you over more. They're creating more turnovers defensively. They're not turning it over at all offensively. I will present the counterpoint, though. 2010 is a year where it felt similar to what they're doing this year, right? They had a defense that forced a lot of turnovers. You looked around and you said, well, I don't know. They're giving up a lot of yards. Maybe the points are okay. Maybe they weren't in quite as many tight games at the end of the year as they've been here these last few weeks, particularly at home. But the turnovers went up in smoke in the postseason when the Jets came here. Mm-hmm. That would be the one thing that would be my fear. Other teams have done it this way. The Saints certainly did it last year. I think 3 years ago. The Giants did it last year. So I think you can do it. I just think in regards to the Patriots defense, 2010, it sort of felt this way in the second half. They were creating all kinds of turnovers, and it didn't carry over
to the
postseason.
This offense is better than, I mean, when it's at its best, it's better than 2010, in my opinion.
I would agree with that.
I mean, I think Gronkowski has elevated his game to borderline unstoppable. You know, Welker is every bit as good as he was back then. And
I think,
you know,
the offense is better.
Healthy.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that gets, you know, you have Wes, well, theoretically, you have Wes Welker at his best if this ankle thing doesn't become an issue. So, I still think that this team, and I know, I mean, we've been talking about this all year, that it's the offense. You know, I think this Talib thing is getting a lot of run and it's fun to talk about. But I'll be stone cold stunned, if we are in February saying, you know what, that trade was the greatest trade in football history.
Well,
that made that defense really good, and they were able to overcome the injuries they had to Welker later or whatever. You might be better. I just don't think you're going to be championship better because of Talib. To me, you're going to win your championship on offense.
Yeah, but again, the trade like that, and I think the reason it does get a lot of traction, we all speculate and talk about the defense and how poor it's been, and it has been, but you know, I think it underscores it when Bill Belichick goes out and starts tinkering with the defense midway through the year, particularly a secondary that struggled. Doesn't that just lend credence to the fact that, okay, it's not just our eyes and, you know, think it's been poor. It's pretty clear that Belichick thinks there's an
issue.
Yeah,
the defense sucked, and he admitted it and said, I'm going to try to go fix it. I just don't think you're going
to
fix it.
All I have to do is listen to Bill every week. You know, he's not sitting there telling you about all the plays they're making on defense. He's sitting there talking about how it was a team effort and, you know, we got contributions and this and that. He's not talking about, you know, the takeaways.
And even when he got defensive with Mike Hawley on WEEI, you know, no one's trying to give up big plays.
Exactly.
No one's playing, you know. I mean, he's acknowledging it's a major problem. We're not trying to have this be a problem, but you're right, it is, and we're trying to fix it. My only question is, as Paul, you didn't bring in Darrell Revis. You brought in a guy who has his issues. I mean, I didn't see the game live, but
on the field,
he gave up 200 yards.
Everybody
focuses
on the
off field. 200 yards to the Giants. And, you know, we had some listeners call our radio show during the week and say, well, yeah, but, you know,
Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz.
Oh, my God. Well,
you know,
what?
Like, we're not
good receivers.
See those kinds of guys.
Reggie Wayne. It's all for today because Reggie Wayne's good.
I mean,
and then next week, Jeremy Curley's looking like he's pretty good now. I mean, they're all competitive. They all get paid. I thought we were bringing in Talib to make you better. Either he's good enough or he isn't. That's where I think he's overrated, personally. I don't think he's that good.
When did all the listeners turn to Rodney Dangerfield?
What?
And so when did all the listeners turn to Rodney Dangerfield?
I never know how things are going to come
out. Leave Maloney's on a roll.
Plus, I got to poop. I'm holding it in.
Imagine if you had some food.
Clenching my cheeks.
Yeah, it'd be that much,
no, this
be that
happens
much rougher.
To me. My stomach gets all discombobulated when it's too empty.
Empty stomach is the issue, is what
you're
saying.
Makes me gassy.
Plus, it's cold in here. He's not having the ability to wear shorts, which always ups his energy level.
Yeah.
It's true. I'm struggling.
I have noticed the gassiness. That I have noticed. By the way, we do have our winner for the Bose SIE2 headphones giveaway. Brian in Longmeadow, Massachusetts.
Congratulations, Brian.
We'll be doing this each and every.
Yeah, Bose!
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, so make sure you listen for that giveaway each and every week as we lead up to Patriots and Colts a little over a half an hour away. Kickoff here from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough,
Massachusetts. Tim Tebow, minus 1 yard passing, minus 5 yards rushing, minus 6 yards total.
quick tweet from E_Scal. You've noticed he's changed his Twitter name to disassociate with Patriots Football Weekly. He said, it looks like Thomas at left guard, McDonald at right guard, switching roles they had last week. FYI, Thomas's best game came at left guard. That's what he said. I just read his tweet. What's his problem?
Hopefully he calls in.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think he's got it.
So I was just going to say the same thing.
I don't know why we're hoping.
I'm looking at an email we got earlier that I was waiting to read to E_Scal. He's in a Twitter skirmish, apparently, writes in David to Web Radio, Patriots.com. He wants us to ask about his Twitter war love triangle with 3 Ys, Jackie UK, and Paletti. I don't know. I know Paletti.
What are
the other two?
What do those three women have in common?
He's got no chance with them?
Jackie, the Patriots Today reporter, her last name is Britton.
Jackie Britton.
Ah.
And Lindsay Petruni.
Uh-huh.
3 Ys in her name.
And Puletti.
And Mary Puletti from Comcast Sports.
So there's a Twitter war love triangle going on.
Yeah.
Apparently.
None of which have anything, any interest whatsoever.
Wouldn't that be a love square?
Right, it's 4. That's what I was thinking as well. Well, we could check in.
Triangles
has
3 points.
We could check in with Eric as we head
4.
Up to...
What's the other thing?
Trapezoid, maybe? 4 chicks dishing?
Yeah, that's basically what it was.
All right, let's just go up to the press box, yeah.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
Eric, so we were just reading your tweets about the offensive line, but we do want to get to what everybody really cares about, this Twitter love triangle. What's going on there, Eric?
We don't have time for this. Do you want to know about the game or not?
That's true, because you called in late. We'd have time if you called in on time. Akeem Tlaib.
If you had started the show when you normally started, this wouldn't be a problem.
We start at 2 o'clock on 425 games, normal start time.
I know, but you normally start 2 hours and 15 minutes before kickoff. That's not 2 hours and 15 minutes.
All right, stop. Get your panties unbunched and tell us about Akeem Tlaib at left corner.
That's where he is. McCourty is at safety. Donald Thomas, left guard. Nick McDonald, right guard. What else do you want to know?
Well, okay. That's it. All right. Thanks, Eric.
All right. We appreciate the phone call from Eric up in the press box.
I don't have to deal with his attitude. He doesn't have enough information for me to want to deal with his attitude.
Paul's bolted out of here as well. So we got some information there, I guess.
Did we really?
I don't think we did.
Very, very sniffy. Oh, yeah. Tlaib's a corner. Yep, that's it.
Paul just runs out every time. He just runs out. He's like, oh, that's my cue, bathroom break.
I think it was warranted tonight.
All right. Well, you know.
You and I have to go to the bathroom.
I mean, look, we can all read Twitter. We sort of know where we're going, right?
Regurgitate his tweets.
Right. I mean, we got a good idea.
I just completely spaced out.
Thomas at left guard.
What just happened?
What do you mean?
I mean, why did that? Why was
I don't
that
know. Eric
seconds?
Was Eric
are we,
was all
are
panties.
We early? I thought we were late. I thought we were starting at 1:45 today, and then we started at 2. So I thought we were actually late.
4:15, 4. We've always started at 2 to give us time to get up there.
I'm sure I'm wrong. I was just saying. Yeah.
It's always better to start at 2 as opposed to, like, 1:45 is just an awkward.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
On the hour, it just seems more logical.
I agree.
Yeah, that was odd. Anyway, we pretty much read his tweets and we got Tlaib back
for
us. So I think we're in a
we didn't miss much.
We're in a good spot. Maurice writes in to webradiopatriots.com, wrote about the pass rush last week, and I went and did some research. The Patriots are last in the NFL in pass rush pressure per play. Until they get more pressure, they'll make every quarterback look like a Hall of Famer. What are your
pressure
thoughts on that?
Per play?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds weird.
That's got to be Pro Football Focus.
And now, are they saying every play? Because, I mean, the league stat is sacks.
I'm looking at pressure per play. There's not much more detail than that.
That's going to be a Pro Football Focus thing, which is fine. You know, we've said this all along. You know, I don't have the numbers. I don't sit down and grade every play like they do. But their pressure is not good. It hasn't been good for a couple of years. It seems like the only time they're close, they get a sack or they get a hit, whatever. You know, I'd like to see more consistent pressure from guys, and I put the onus on Chandler Jones. He is going to clearly be your marquee pass rusher, and he's probably going through a growth period, and, you know, he talked a little bit about this week, you know, I'm not, he kind of downplayed, I'm not being double teamed, I'm not being chipped, but that's what happens, he said, to elite pass rushers. You know, he acknowledged that's part of the process, and he's going to have to learn to deal with that if he's going to take that next step to be elite. But they need more pressure in general, which is why I kind of was surprised today the Justin Francis one. I think Justin Francis has added something.
I was too.
Now, I don't know if there's an injury there.
Paul's back, by
the way. You know, a game plan thing.
Well, I didn't want to ruffle his feathers anymore. Well, I know that.
He missed a scintillating 22 seconds.
They were pretty ruffled.
Yeah, his panties were all bunched
up. It's like
up.
A third 4:25 game in the season. Suddenly, a start time of our show is of
all right, can we not talk about Eric? Can we talk about this discussion?
The pressure,
of the pass
I assume you're talking about like the Cunningham and Ninkovich thing?
Well, no, we're just talking about the fact that the pressure isn't good enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, well,
that flat out the pressure. You know, you can do whatever you want with sacks or sacks per pass play, which is about
that's
the same
apparent,
as last year,
yeah.
Which is 22nd, I think, or right in that ballpark. They need to get more pressure. Just guys around quarterbacks, guys making quarterbacks think, guys making quarterbacks step up, move, what have you. There's not enough. And I liked what I've seen from Francis there. And he's a guy that's got a little edge to
him. I wonder if he
him.
Got a little banged up or if, you know, maybe some of the other things with the offense with guys banged up has
the numbers
a little
game,
bit worried.
But, you know, we got to have Trevor Scott active.
He is,
fair,
right?
Fair point.
Yeah, yeah. I'd rather have Justin Francis active.
I would, too. That's a fair point.
Thank you, Paul.
So that,
fair
I mean,
point.
That's the thing
I agree
with him. What can the Patriots do about it? I mean, is it more, you don't dial it up more, right? Like, we've said this long enough where it doesn't seem like there's going to be a schematic or philosophical shift there.
Well, I thought part of that was the work they've done rotating guys like Francis in and Cunningham in is not the full
and,
balls, you know, blitz, we're going to go crazy, but just a little bit. You know, more athleticism, something for the other team to think of, more guys on the field rotating through. Maybe that allows Love and Wilfork to be fresher at other aspects of the game, and it gives you some matchups on the inside when you put those smaller, better pass rushers in against guards, and they've had some success with it. So, you know, I think that was one aspect of it. But in the end, as I just said, you know, your marquee guy is Jones, and I think he needs to elevate his game a little. I think he's quieted sort of this second half of his rookie season here, this phase he's in.
All right, so we appreciate the feedback on the program, 508-298-0398, all your emails to webradio@patriots.com. We've been getting your thoughts on this one. As the Patriots get set to take on Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts here, we're about a half an hour away from kickoff on patriots.com. I will talk to you following this one on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, and we'll all be back in here leading up to Patriots and Jets on Thanksgiving.
Woo-hoo,
right here
turkey
on patriots.com.
Nowhere I'd rather be.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time at Gillette Stadium as the Patriots square off with the Indianapolis Colts.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spice at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following tonight's game.
Patriots come hard. He looks, he fires to the right, and it is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, at the 40.
Stay up.
Speed all the way down to the 30-yard line. Vincent Wilfork.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.